The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
When a person suffers a stroke, the impact on their lives can be devastating. For some, it may mean that even everyday routines are disrupted, like buttoning a shirt or brushing their teeth. But today, a team of scientists at UW-Milwaukee have developed a bracelet that is showing remarkable success in giving some stroke victims a much greater sense of touch and the motor skills needed to use their hands effectively. It's called the TheraBracelet, and the inventors, Na Jin So and Leah Enders, are in the studio with us on this edition of UWM Today. Na Jin is the Assistant Professor of Industrial and Manufacturing Engineering, and Leah Enders is a recent alum from UWM and nearly about to receive her Ph.D. in Industrial Engineering and Manufacturing. Welcome to both of you. Great to have you on the program, Leah and Na Jin. And let's begin with you, Na Jin. It sounds really quite remarkable, a bracelet that could help bring feeling back to people who have suffered strokes. Where did you get the idea for this?
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a really big question there. So I guess I've been looking at stroke survivors' hand rehabilitation for a number of years now. And, I think as a biomechanist, we tend to focus on movement a lot. But as I was studying more and more, I got to appreciate the importance of sensation and sensory input and how that impacts motor function in general in humans, and especially in stroke survivors who have sensory deficit. A lot of them have sensory deficit, and I just got a, I guess, sense that the sensory deficit and reduced sensory input has something to do with their impaired motor function. And that's when we started looking at how we can improve their sensation.
Did somebody steer you in this direction, or was it an idea that sitting around one day you said, gee, I wonder if this might work?
I think so. There are some previous studies looking at how impairing sensation affects people's hand function. So, if you anesthetize fingers, or if you numb the fingers, or like with aging, people have less sensation, and that affects their hand function. And that we know that, and I think we do. We do know sensation affects motor function. I guess I just didn't see a lot of it in stroke rehabilitation, especially for the hand function. And that's where I thought, we could probably do something about, manipulating sensation in stroke survivors and see whether we can do something positive in their hand function.
It reminds me of something my father-in-law said. He was an engineer, mm-hmm. and he said his theory in business as an engineer was find a need and fill it.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you may have seen a need there, and mm-hmm. this bracelet may be filling that need.
Hopefully, yes.
Well, let's talk about the bracelet, and I want to bring Leah into the conversation. Leah, you've been working with Na Jin on this for some time, right?
Right, about 4 years total, 5 years total, but I think we've, particularly with this project, maybe about three.
3 years. Mm-hmm. So tell us about how you began developing the bracelet, because our listeners will learn in a little bit that you've actually taken this quite a bit down the road here. But that first idea of, there may be something we could put on the wrist to help trigger sensation. How did that start?
Right. So my research obviously coincides a lot with what Dr. So is looking at. And the preliminary part of my thesis dissertation was all about how stroke patients are different from healthy individuals in their gripping, and then how sensation really impacts their ability to do a particular type of grip. And, after we had talked, and of course, we saw, okay, there is something going on here with the stroke patients that have these sensation problems. They're really having a tough time with certain gripping aspects. And so we were thinking, what can we do to improve the sensation? And we looked at a couple different ranges of technologies or kind of methods, I should say, to improve sensation. And I think that we threw a lot out there, and I designed kind of a little study to kind of see what we could find, if we could find improvement with them. And I ended up mixing up two studies, two kind of techniques. I applied a technique that you should apply on the fingertips to the wrist. And so that was sort of a mistake. And it was this technology behind TheraBracelet, essentially. It was this vibration technology. You know, normally it's put directly where you're trying to improve the control. So in this case, it's our fingers that are controlling the grip. And we put it kind of farther down the chain of command, if you will, on the wrist. And we did the study, and lo and behold, there was this kind of improvement. We saw this; it actually improved sensation. We were like, "Well, how does that happening? You know, what's really going on here?" And it kind of delved us into this world of what is this technology actually doing? You know, behind the scenes in the central nervous system. And I kind of think that's where our journey has kind of taken us. And then that kind of got, well, wait a minute, no one's really looked at this technology, you know, this way. And that's kind of what brought us then to the whole idea of going through with the patenting and developing it into an actual rehabilitation device, and what has facilitated the rest of the research studies that we've worked so hard on.
So the idea that vibrations can help improve sense is not a new idea. That's been around for a while?
Yes, that's been used in different studies in the past, but the new idea is that the vibration is applied away from the hand, which there are some devices that are intended to be placed right on the side of the fingers to enhance sensation in perhaps older people who have reduced sensation. However, wearing such a device will be very cumbersome, and it's going to be interfering with their hand activity, which is kind of productive. So, the new thing about this TheraBracelet is that it's going to improve your hand function while not interfering with their hand at all during the object manipulation. And it also exposes the entire finger to get necessary sensory information that people need.
This is radio, and so we can't easily show people the TheraBracelet, but describe what it looks like.
Well, the current version has a control box that you can wear on the waist belt. You can clip it on there, and then there's a wire running through all the way through the shoulder to the wrist, and there's a wristband that looks like a Nike band on the wrist.
So like something that – like a sweatband or
– Right.
Okay.
Right. But eventually we'll like to have a standalone just wristband only that may look like a Fitbit or something similar, or a watch that vibrates and enhances hand function. So we're envisioning a device that people are more willing to wear without perception about disability or anything like that.
Yeah. So it has vibrations. You put the wristband on. Can you hear it? I mean, how violent or how apparent are those vibrations that are coming through the band?
So it's a special type of vibrations, actually, that you can't feel at all and you can't hear. So that's kind of the magic. It sounds like magic trick, but it's not. Your body's really, really good at picking up on things that maybe you're not cognitively picking up. In this case, it's these little vibrations that are below your ability to feel them, but they sort of tell your brain, hey, there's something going on here. And we're going to amplify what's going on. And then what we think happens then is that your brain kind of detects, hey, there's something going on here peripherally. And we're going to kind of increase our activation to that area to see if it, to see if it could be helpful. That's sort of the broad explanation of what's going on. Of course, there's a lot of pathways that I don't think anyone's necessarily even sure on yet. We've had just a pilot study that's shown, yes, that, when you put the vibration here, your brain is picking up something. Of course, it's only been one person. And you can imagine how that would be really helpful in patients that experience brain trauma, such as stroke patients. If there's damage there, and if you're going to use something that could kind of go through that, maybe there's also that would double in helpfulness for a rehabilitation device, because if you're kind of taking that pathway, then maybe you can kind of jog it back into what it was, or kind of try to take it back from that damage. We don't have any evidence that that's what's happening.
But it's possible you might hit the reset button there. So with enough of that stimulation, that down the road the sensation comes back on its own.
That's our hope, and that's the hope. That's our plan of testing in the future.
So you folks are engineers, and yet you're working with this medical device. What sort of connection do you have with the medical community? Have you talked to physicians? Have you talked to people who are working with or treating stroke victims as you go about this phase of discovery?
I guess as an engineer, I've been always, fascinated by doing something for other people and helping other people with their difficulties, and especially people with disability. So I guess that's why I got interested in doing a postdoctoral training in a rehab hospital to see, what an engineer could do for people with disability. For this particular project, I think we've been since I started at UWM, I've been trying to establish a form of a big collaboration in Milwaukee area to, impact or bring engineering technology to medical field. And so we have a number of collaborators at the Medical College of Wisconsin and Marquette University and here at UWM with clinical departments and, trying to bring engineering technologies for rehabilitation.
And in fact, you mentioned the connection. You actually have an appointment at the medical college, don't you?
Right.
And so you, on a regular basis, are intersecting with faculty there and with physicians. It must make for interesting conversations when you bring someone from an engineering background together with someone from the medical side.
Right. I think that when people are in their own discipline, they don't necessarily think outside the box, and the mistake technique that we have developed in the laboratory, may be probably unthinkable within the medical field, I guess. But an engineering laboratory provides an environment where we can tinker and come up with something, may or may not work, but it could.
Yeah. Leah, when you were describing your process of discovery, when you said, "Well, I connected the points right on the fingers," you didn't know whether that would work or not work, but it really led you down the path to discover that there was something going on here. Was that an aha moment for you?
No, I think it was scary because I thought I would have to redo a whole lot of research because I thought that maybe I had made a mistake and then
you screwed up.
Yeah, it's a couple months down the road, and of course a couple months means you're pushing your graduation back further and further. And I think that it's always safer to go with a pathway to test something that's already been known. Oh yeah, it'll produce these results, and it's safer, and you can write up a whole much, this beautiful discussion, and then there's a lot of research support for it, and you can interview a lot of people. But it's a little bit harder when you're using kind of a technology that has only been around for the past 20 years. Really, this kind of vibration's only been used for the past 20 years. So that means that there's only a limited amount of research that's there. But it's kind of a closed community of who has researched this. But it's kind of also fun because then it makes you kind of hunt down, all right, well, maybe it hasn't been used in this sense, but hey, look, it's been used in cats. It's been used, actually, this kind of technology has been used in weather prediction models for ice age, just the kind of patterns that it makes. And there's a lot of long explanation that's sort of mathematical on why that. But it kind of makes you get creative, I think, on your research, which is a really good skill to learn in your doctorate because that's what's going to be expected of you and makes you a good doctorate afterwards.
For you, Najin, you're the professor and you're advising Leah here. What's it like when you have a student like her who really gets rolling into this and now has become a partner with you? I mean, is it must be gratifying or is it surprising to have a student who is able to accelerate as quickly as she has?
It is gratifying to work with students who excel. I guess that's part of the thing that I really love about my job, working with students and finding out what they can bring and what they can do beyond, I guess, my expectation or their expectation, and we try to, come up with something totally innovative and new that we haven't thought of before.
It's just not another day at the office, is it? When you have people collaborating and seeing what they could uncover or discover in a day's work.
Right.
So, Leah, you mentioned before the patent. We'd like to now begin to talk about this other really exciting part of your research. But first, let me share with our listeners remind them that they're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. I'm Tom Luchak. I'm in the studio along with Najin So, who's an assistant professor of industrial and manufacturing engineering at UWM, and Leah Enders, just about to get her PhD in industrial engineering and manufacturing engineering, and they are co-inventors of something called the TheraBracelet, designed to help bring sensation back to the hands of stroke victims. And you've talked about the process of discovery. I want to talk about the process of now perhaps building a company around this, because you folks have filed for a patent that you hope may lead to actually creating these things. Let's talk about that process. Where do we stand in terms of taking this from the laboratory stage out into the world where it might be applied?
So a couple years ago, the UWM Research Foundation is really motivated to try to find patentable ideas, I think. And so they came through our lab and said, do you have anything? And Dr. So was saying, yeah, I think that, there's this grad student myself who was working on it. She's like, this could really have some avenues that, we don't know much about the process. And we were still learning at that point. And we went ahead and we did the provisional patent. And we were approached by a couple groups, but one group out of the University of Louisville Entrepreneurship Masters of Business group, and they said, what we like to do is we like to take these ideas that are currently kind of undergoing this preliminary patenting, and we want to have a group of our students take it through their business plan competition circuit. And so I kind of got brought into it that way, and I joined three of their students, their MBA students, and we formed an actual company as of October of last year. We're TheraBracelet LLC. And I went around all over the U.S. and a little bit in Canada, and we did these business plan competitions, which were a completely different realm of education for me, business talk. And I essentially kind of had to – it was a little bit like Shark Tank, where you have to pitch this idea, and then you get these people that lay into you about all the different things they see going wrong. And it was – a really good chance for me to kind of see how this idea can work on other people, and that's sort of where we're at. And now, since then, we did pretty well in the business competition, and we actually have an investor right now, and we are now talking with that investor and kind of getting more protected in our patenting. And we've also filed for a full utility patent, another way, but we are kind of trying to get to a point where we're doing clinical testing, and that's what we're gearing up to do right now. And part of that is coming up with prototype development, which I think maybe Najin can talk a little bit more about. But that's what we've kind of been working on lately.
Well, that's very exciting. You never thought when you got into engineering school that you would be CEO of a company already, huh?
I'm actually CSO, which is the Chief Scientific Officer.
Oh, Chief Scientific.
Thank goodness I can't run that.
So, Najin, is this the first time that you've been involved in filing a patent that may lead to the creation of a product like this?
Yes, it is. And it has been a learning experience for me. And I have, typically in academia, I don't think there has been a strong history of, going for intellectual property. So I haven't seen it a lot either. And it's something new recently that's been done. And so, I'm just following the flow, I guess.
Did you ever expect that you'd be walking down this path?
I don't know. Maybe, perhaps. Yeah, I thought that, if my career is about developing devices for people with disability, one of them might go down this route.
Well, very exciting with the potential. So Leah talked about getting to that next phase of development. And I presume that this is where you're trying to develop something that is perhaps a little more portable, a little more mobile in terms of being able to attach these bracelets into a clinical setting?
Yeah. Well, I guess there are actually two parts of the investigations that are going on. One part is studying the brain mechanism of how this device actually works. And so that's a lot of science involved, neuroscience involved. And the other part is device development. So for the scientific part, I'm working with collaborators in Marquette University and UWM and MCW to look at, you know, the brain quantification of brain activity with the use of this device and see, you know, what exactly is happening in order to facilitate their recovery.
So these are neuroscientists you're working with?
Right. And then the development part.
Before you get to that point on development, tell me how do you figure out how it does work? Are you going to be looking at brain scans or what sort of work will take place in the lab?
So far we've been we've been playing with the EEG, electroencephalogram, and then fMRI as well. So basically, we put people in the scanner, or while we scan their brain activity while they're having the bracelet on or off, and see, you know, how the brain activity changes with the presence of the noise. And it seems like their brain activity related to hand motion is increased with the noise on at the wrist. This gives us some evidence and confidence that this device actually works in, you know, some miracle ways within the brain and within the central nervous system, which then encourages us to you know, go further, investigate further about, you know, in the long term or you know, a large set of patients.
So you could actually see on the machines the brain wave activity. There's something going on in there.
That's correct.
Yeah. Lee, are you involved in that part of the process also, that part of the discovery?
So I was present. I helped out with testing, but that was actually part of a master's student who was with us. And she's
part of the team.
Part of our team. Although I think that, you know, we've all sort of, it's kind of been all hands on deck, sort of on some different parts of the research. So I did not have to do that portion. Mine's not the brain scanning portion, but I've been a part of getting to see the magic happen, to speak.
A lot of students in my laboratory were involved in this project one way or the other. So Leah was involved in perhaps some preliminary testing on how the noise affects the patient's behavior. And then another student was looking at the brain activity. Another student is looking at currently how it impacts healthy people's hand function and see whether we can use this as an performance augmentation for people who need high-level precision tasks such as surgeons or, you know, people who are working in high-tech tasks.
Wow. So when you do the testing, when you go through this clinical phase, are you always testing the device on people who have some sort of impairment, or do you test both people who've been affected perhaps by a stroke and then people who aren't? Do you have some sort of control group to see if there are any differences?
Yes. So while we're studying stroke patients, we were always including age-matched control subjects, which are, you know, age-matched healthy adults who never experienced stroke. And it seems like the noise was having a beneficial on these people without stroke as well. Then while we were doing some brain imaging studies, you know, we decided to look at healthy people first because we may gain some knowledge about how it's working, maybe a little better in a more established brain. And, you know, it turns out that healthy people, even young healthy adults, are having benefits in sensation as well as motor function as well, which was then, you know, led to the idea of maybe this can have a wider impact more than just patients
Wow.
with stroke.
So it might not only be fixing someone who has a serious problem, but it actually might make folks in everyday life perhaps a better prepared to use those fine motor skills, huh?
That's correct.
So I might find myself wearing a TheraBracelet the next time I'm trying to fix the storm or something at home if I need to hammer straight. You never know, right?
Well, when you sew.
Trust me, I need a lot of help on that front. So you address that first part of the next phase, which is looking at brain activity. You said the next phase is actually now taking that device development to another plateau. How does that happen?
Oh, so you mean the device mm-hmm. development part. So we've been primarily working with a group in UW-Madison, actually, to develop a prototype. And that's the prototype we have with a controller on a waist belt. And now we want to move it towards the standalone wristband-only device. And we're currently working with people in School of Arts at UWM. Because they can make things more durable, more aesthetic, something more user friendly, to entice people to try it out, and also to be more easy to use for therapists and clinics as well. Because we cannot provide clinics with device for which wires can be pulled out and stuff like that.
It so has to be durable,
right? Yeah, yeah. More rugged and more. More proof, I guess.
And aesthetically pleasing.
Right.
You probably maybe want a little bit of bling on it. Do you think you're going to get into colors or that sort of thing perhaps down the road?
Art students is actually looking at different, colors and different fields and touches.
Okay, so the big question, you have all of this wonderful idea that shows promise. How long before you know whether or not it will be something that can be put into production and used by people on a regular basis? Any projection or any estimate of what that timetable might look like?
So we are currently we're trying to get our clinical testing down, and we first we want to see, okay, well, how long do you have to wear this device for it to have an effect? And we've seen immediate effects in the laboratory, but is that the same at 4 hours as it is 8 hours? Scientifically we say I don't see why not, but of course that's not reality of it. And then you have, okay, well, do you have to wear this for 2 weeks? Should it accompany your rehabilitation? Should you just wear it at home? Who does it help? How long? And what do you have to do to get there, to get it to work? Those questions have to be answered. And so we're kind of targeting some of that. Also, who does it help? Stroke patients, older, healthy individuals, younger individuals. Is all going to be doing in our clinical testing coming up, which we'll be doing. Some of it is in Louisville. Whether or not, I think that Dr. So will probably continue doing studies on mechanisms and all that. And then the clinical, which will actually be with a device mock-up,
wow.
Will be starting hopefully in the next 6 months.
Wow, that's amazing. Just mm-hmm. amazing work.
But I guess as soon as the prototype with the just wristband alone is completed with the students in arts, I would like to provide maybe 5 or 10 of them into a local clinic in Milwaukee and see whether, they can use it. Because it is relatively really low risk in terms of medical device speaking. I mean, it's only minor vibration. It's not even big vibration. And there's no risk of wearing something vibrating on your wrist. I mean, people wear watches and people wear Fitbit without any prescription.
Well, driving the car, your hands on the steering
exposed
wheel.
Exposed to
you're
the vibration a lot, yeah. So I would like to provide the devices to local clinic and see, how they like it and see whether they are having some benefits.
Well, this is one that we really, really want to watch, and we would love to have you back on after you do some more of these trials and we see what path this takes. Just an absolutely fascinating story of how research, starting with an idea, can move, in your case, to a product that not only can help a lot of people but might actually be the basis of a company. Congratulations on the good work that you've
been
doing.
Thank you.
Najin So and Leah Enders, both involved in the development of the TheraBracelet, a marvelous, promising device coming out of the laboratories of UWM along with their partner institutions here in the state. They're both our guests on this edition of UWM Today. Well, that's all for this week's program. We will see you next week at the same time. Thanks for taking a few minutes to learn about the ways in which our world changes every day because of the smart work being done by people on university campuses like UWM. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week. I'm Tom Lujack.
You have been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.